The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I'm joined in studio by Conor Faulkner, a transport commentator. Conor, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Hi.
So many things on our agenda today. Let's start with fuel prices at the pump. I mean, very variable.
Yeah.
And diesel invariably more expensive than petrol.
Well, this
What's going on?
Yeah, this is the odd one, because in normal times, as in over the last, well, since the 1990s, petrol and diesel move more or less in lockstep. There's an interesting pattern whereby diesel's expensive in the winter and petrol's expensive in the summer, but basically they move hand in hand. Not so this time around. This energy crisis appears to be a little different. So now at the pumps, whatever about both prices, diesel is about 10 cents per litre more expensive than petrol. It's usually the other way around.
Now, you're still getting better consumption with your diesel car.
You are. And for motorists, diesel is still a good option, and one that, you know, the large chunk of motorists still use. But diesel is more important to the economy than petrol is. Diesel is essentially the same as home heating oil. It's vital for transport, for shipping, for also, you know, industrial air conditioning units all run on diesel. So diesel is a much more important fuel. And in this energy crisis, I think that's what we're seeing. So while everybody suffers from high prices, for motorists, if you're budgeting on using diesel, if your car is diesel, the effect on you is actually going to be worse.
Yeah.
As I say, normally this time of year, diesel will be about 5 to 10 cent cheaper than petrol. It's now about 10 cent more expensive.
Okay, now, because we're talking about haulage, we're talking about the trains,
yeah.
We do have some electrification, but not a lot.
Not a lot.
And our buses, again, a few electric buses knocking around, but most are run on diesel.
The country runs on diesel. I mean, that is unfortunate. It's a legacy thing. It can't be humanity's future, but right here, right now, the world economy runs on diesel, and Ireland more so than most, yeah.
Now, we hear about windfall profits for energy companies. Are the service stations coining it?
In a word, no. I just think it's worth pointing that out, because when you look at, you know, you pass by a service station and say, oh my God, diesel's up at €2 a litre again. There may be super profits being made in the oil sector. They're not being made by the retailer. The retailer is, you know, lucky if they're getting a few cents per litre. They're literally going to make more money if you buy a cup of coffee along with your refill. So thin are their margins on fuel. So if you're looking for a villain of the piece, there's the Irish government taking a chunk in tax, and there's big oil doing what big oil does, but it's not actually your local service station.
Okay, now another issue which has emerged is women and saving money on their insurance.
Yeah,
that's the headline.
Yeah.
The detail is, it's actually kind of logical.
Sort of.
If you look at the stats.
Yeah, sort of. Well, the stats in question tell us that women are actually less likely to do the driving test than males. So, you know, we were talking the other day about there are people who spend years and years and years technically on learner status without ever regularising themselves and getting a proper licence. It appears that women are more likely to do that than men. Why would that be? Maybe loads of reasons. But one of the ways in which they pay for that is that they will pay more for the driving insurance. So connecting the daisy chain of the headline to the article, yep. It says if you are one of those women, do your driving test and save yourself 500 per year. I think it's a bit of a stretch to say that that is something that discriminates against women. You know, I can't quite stretch the logic that far.
You have the option of applying for your driving test.
Now, there is, whether this is a good thing or a bad thing, Pat, but there is discrimination baked into motor insurance. Motor insurance, because of an EU directive, is forced to be gender blind. So your insurance company is not allowed to notice whether you're male or female. Now, for some people, hooray, that's equality. But the practical effect of that is that young women subsidise the cost of insurance for young men.
That's because young women are statistically less likely to crash.
It is an actuarial certainty. And you know, you can call that discriminatory, but it's just the data is undeniable. So if you allow an insurance company to notice the difference between a male and a female, they will charge the males much more money. And that's what they used to do prior to this directive. So is that fair or unfair? Well, the practical upshot is that the females subsidise the males in motor insurance. Mm.
One of the texters said, diesel 20 cent more expensive for me this morning. It was 10 cent more expensive than petrol up to this week.
Correct.
Now it was 202.8 for diesel, 182.8 for petrol.
That's right, and it isn't even winter yet. As I say, that's the alarming thing. Normally at this time of year, diesel would be about 5 to 10 cent per litre cheaper than petrol. Now actually in February, when the government knocked a few bob off both, they actually knocked 20 cent off petrol and 15 off diesel. So that's part of the explanation. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't help, because as we face into this energy crisis, look, in the last 30, 40 years, Pat, how many crises have we had? We had the banking crisis. We had an oil price spike before that happened. We've had the pandemic, and now we have the war. So when have times ever been normal? But in normal times, you would expect to see the diesel price and the petrol price move together. Diesel looks like it's heading in for a very grim winter.
One of my texters has three words on the text: biofuel, biofuel, biofuel.
Yeah, well, there's a small percentage of biofuel contained in the diesel that you're putting in your car, but it comes with its own problems. It has to be farmed, it has to be manufactured, it has a carbon cost of its own. And in fact, 20 years ago, when the European Union wanted to move us all to biofuel, it actually distorted world food markets. Global food production was being switched to produce biofuel for Europeans. So you got to be careful about it. It's not quite the magic bullet it seems to be, although, you know, wish we had a great big tanks of it now heading into the winter, but it's not the solution, simple solution, it appears.
Now, let's talk about the rain, the weather. Mm. I mean, you know, we're well used to rain and weather in this country, but when you get a sudden onset of a lot of rain overnight, certainly my experience in the Dublin area this morning was, you know, flooding everywhere.
Flooding everywhere, and we expect it to be worse in Munster. Hasn't quite hit what, you know, we were worried about in the forecasts overnight, but there's still an orange warning, and look, this is the first of our autumn storms, isn't it, Pat? The weather pattern, as you were hearing earlier on, it's set to be like this for at least a week, and I'm sure over the months ahead we will be facing into winter storms. They cause merry hell on the roads. At best, they cause traffic congestion. And I was going to drive in this morning, had a look at Google, said it would take me over an hour, so I had to get on the bike and got here in half an hour.
Okay, now I wanted to talk to you about that, because this morning I saw two bikes all the way into work, and the conditions for cyclists were pretty awful. So many, you know, puddles. You might not even know there's a puddle. You just see what looks like a wet surface of the road, but in fact it's something that might be 6-8 inches deep.
Yeah,
it might be potholed. You can't tell.
You can't risk it on a bicycle. You must move right. And on congested city streets, it certainly is a difficult morning for cyclists this morning. I would be reluctant to do it unless you knew the route well. And that's on a pretty good route for me. So, you know, we talk about cycling being a great option. Mornings like this probably show us that the quality of the cycle paths, notwithstanding investment and everybody wanting to fix them, what we've got at the moment, the quality just isn't good enough.
Yeah. That brings me to the Pathfinder projects announced by Eamon Ryan. You know, 6-minute towns and cities, that's 6 minutes from everywhere, either walking or cycling or scooting or whatever you want to do. What did you make of those?
Well, I mean, it's a sort of a benign rebranding of a long list of little mini plans.
Because there's no budget for, no special budget for this.
No, and it's presented as if it's a grand plan. They're calling it Operation Pathfinder or some such grandiose name. Essentially, it's a wish list, shopping list. Eamon Ryan asked all the local authorities, what are the lovely projects you want to do? Maybe we'll get funding for them. Got back an eclectic list, some good, some bad, some indifferent. Some as relatively minor as a, you know, local link transport scheme connected to e-bikes in a town in Meath, up to the pedestrianisation of College Green, which is a big, big project, which intersects with Bus Connects, and nobody's quite fully figured out yet.
Yeah, it's interesting that, because it appears that there will be taxis not going through the green necessarily, but perhaps they will, because buses may be going through some of them. The Lewis has to go through because the tracks go through. Yeah. Cyclists and people on scooters will be going through. So what does pedestrianisation mean when you've got mixed use still permitted?
Indeed, and worth noting that the private cars are already gone. I mean, there's virtually none there. So you're talking about taxis and buses. One of the original iterations of Bus Connects was an abomination of a plan that would have seen literally walls of buses using College Green as a turning circle to feed their dreadful, dreadful concept. They moved on from that. I think the design is being improved. But nobody has still squared. How are you going to create a civic plaza on College Green and do everything that Bus Connects requires? And we still don't know, but it's now included in this grandiose heading of Operation Pathfinder that Eamon Ryan announced the other day. So a shopping list of schemes, some good, some bad, some indifferent, some figured out and costed, some still not costed at all, and you know, announced as a great step forward. So good and bad within it, I guess.
Roger's been on. I was in Spain 2 weeks ago. I put €100 of diesel into the car, that I was in. When I paid, the lady at the cashier counter said to me, "Discount." Now, I had filled €100.01 and I thought she meant the 1 cent was the discount. She gave me back €18.
She said
the government give you 18% discount from the tax. Our government should do this for us. We, the consumer, get the discount. When our government dropped the duty on diesel or petrol earlier this year, the prices dropped for a few days, then went back up again. Please ask Connor about this.
Yeah.
So the idea is that they, when the government gave a break on excise, they had to show it immediately at the petrol station.
Correct.
But this woman, this guy's, it's Roger, his suspicion is that as soon as they could, the service stations jacked it up again.
It's everybody's suspicion. But we've looked for that. I've looked for that over the years. I've looked for the smoking gun evidence of that pattern. It simply isn't there. Sorry to disappoint the conspiracy theorists, but it simply isn't there. There actually is a reasonable quality of retail competition. In our retail competition in Ireland is actually not that bad, you know, despite what the conspiracy theorists will tell you. Now, where the ripoff is occurring is in two areas. One is the amount of tax the government lumps on it. And, you know, if you're taking money off tax, to me, it's a bit clumsy to physically hand cash back at the till. Just take it off the same effect. Take it off the excise duty.
You're sure you're getting the money if you're handed back at the till.
Well, OK, but, you know, if you're...
And you can say to the person, the government says, you know, it's 18% you're giving me back. I put €100 in. Give me €18, please.
Yeah, I know. But isn't it simpler all round if the government just, you know, reduces the excise duty? However, one way or the other, I mean, all governments across Europe have made some sort of effort to moderate fuel prices and energy prices, because this is an energy crisis that we're in. But his suspicion of being fleeced at Irish petrol pumps, the fleecing is happening elsewhere in the food chain.
One last question, apropos of nothing, from Colm and Bray. Why is reversing around a corner part of the driving test in Ireland when not in any other country? It also is probably illegal to reverse around a corner.
Well, you have to demonstrate your competence at handling the machine. You know, you want people to be capable of reversing around a corner because it's a manoeuvre you might occasionally be required to make. If you're weaving a car in a housing estate, for example, where there's kids playing, you've got to be competent to perform that manoeuvre. We don't do a parallel park, they do in the UK. But overall, the driving test is a fairly simple, straightforward thing. Are you competent to drive the car, yes or no? It does nothing about your behaviour, which is a much more important indicator of whether you're going to crash or not. And it's only one part of the process of learning.
By the way, it's a long time since I did my driving test, and of course the handbrake was part of it all. Now we have automatic handbrakes. As soon as you stop the car, most of them now have a setting whereby the handbrake is automatically applied and automatically removed once you start to accelerate.
Yeah, no such thing as a hill start anymore. That's gone as technology. And you know, eventually, I mean, electric cars aren't manual transmissions, so you know, the manual transmission
is gone.
Effectively.
Because all hybrid cars are automatic effectively.
Correct, yeah. And you know, we'll come to the stage, Pat, where the computer will be doing the driving and we won't need a test at all.
Conor Faulkner, transport commentator, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.